Okay, Michael, fire away, and you can ask me anything you like.
Well, good morning, Mr. Cleese. You're kind enough to include Buffalo as the one U.S. stop on your otherwise Canadian tour, where you're going to be sending us a very assuring message that there's no hope.
Now, quite right. Beautifully put.
Now, you've been to Buffalo before. You were a distinguished speaker at the University at Buffalo. You were also a visiting professor at Cornell University, not that far from here. In those visits, how much were you able to observe this part of New York State, and how do we compare to the rest of the America you've observed?
Well, it seems in the autumn, of course, it's astonishingly beautiful. When I was driving up here this morning from, first of all, from New York to North Salem, and then from North Salem up to Ithaca, and then up to Toronto, it's very, very beautiful in these very, very, what's the word, muted colors. And I just sat in the car and watched it, and I think I was struck again by how huge America is. And you know, in England you couldn't go these kind of distances without coming along across a little town or a village, and here you seem to be able to travel quite long distances just seeing the occasional beautiful farmhouse. So is that the sort of thing you were asking me?
Well, sort of, because there's also just the cultural differences. The way we think in Buffalo is not necessarily how they might think down in New York City. Were you able to observe the differences?
No, because when I come in for a speech like that, I come in for about 2 days and I meet very courteous people who are usually connected with the university, and that means that they're rather similar to the last lot. And this is not true in Cornell, where I was, you know, I've been going there for 16 years. But I don't know about Buffalo. All I know is that I think it is very, very courageous of anyone to live in a climate like that. Particularly if they're not Canadian.
Well, we're close enough to the Canadian border. Now, you recently appeared in Salt Lake City at a comic convention there, and you had a little fun with one of their sports teams, the Utah Jazz. You said you love silly names, and theirs is silly. Our football team here is the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to dare ask, at the expense of getting myself in a little bit of trouble up here, where might that fit in your spectrum of silly?
Oh, I don't think that that's a very silly name. I think Memphis Grizzlies is absolutely hilarious. And, of course, I know the history of it, but that's how it finished up. And the Utah Jazz, the whole idea of these Mormons sitting there with trombones and saxophones, I think it's hilarious. But I have other famous teams, too. I love a little bit of humor. And any time I see a chance of it now, I kind of head towards it. Because after all, I'm 80 this year. I'll be dead soon. And every time I laugh, I feel better. And I feel happy now that I spent my life trying to make other people laugh. Because I think it's at this stage in our history, you know what I mean? I think it's an important service.
Very true. And, well, speaking of humor, some might argue that American politics has provided a lot of it. You've expressed your opinion of President Trump, and I'm going to borrow from Monty Python's Life of Brian and say that you feel he's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. How many times do you maybe feel inspired by a comic idea, but then get the feeling that, you know what, the real world's kind of beaten me to it?
Well, that's happened a lot in the last 20 years. I mean, when Kim Kardashian goes to the White House to discuss prison reform with President Trump, I mean, I shrug. And I remember what Billy Connolly said to me 20, 30 years ago, which is that the world is getting funnier than we are. And my favorite quote is that wonderful wit of yours. Oh, God, I forgot his name. The guy with the lariat, Will Rogers, sorry. I love that saying of Will Rogers when he says, I don't make the jokes, I just point them out. Although I have to say, in politics at the moment, I think there are some things becoming enormously serious. I mean, it does look as though Mr. Trump thinks of checks and balances as presidential harassment. And I think when you have a very authoritarian person in charge, with very few democratic instincts, then I think you have a very dangerous situation if they're going to be in power for a long time, because it will be very hard to claw back the old democratic, and with a small d, traditions.
And as much as he has his opponents, he also has his supporters, many of whom have tried to engage you in social media, and yet you're up to that challenge.
Well, I'll be honest with you, but it's rather rude. They're not very bright. It's extraordinary how many pro-Trump emails I get is either misspelled or the punctuation is wrong. So you just get the impression that if people can't be bothered to speak their own language properly, I think they probably don't deserve to be taken that seriously.
Now, I've been a British comedy fan for many, many years, and I won't call myself very educated in it, but the observation I've always made is that it's based on a people and a culture where the empire that once was is no more, and yet Britons can laugh at themselves about that. Americans don't necessarily have that willingness to laugh at themselves. Is that an observation you would agree with?
I think it depends whether you're on the coasts or the Great Lakes or whether you're in the Midwest and the Bible Belt, the South. The coast and the Great Lakes and places like, you know, Dallas and Atlanta, they have irony. People understand irony, and I think it's extraordinary that in large areas of America, basically, they don't. They are very literal-minded, which is, of course, why they have their own very specific interpretation of Christianity.
You just called in, yeah.
Okay. And sounds like my time might be...
What's going on?
I'm not sure. I was wondering if that was my one-minute warning. So, but
is that the one-minute warning?
They
don't know.
No, I've not heard otherwise. So,
and they're not telling us what to do. These people don't know what they're doing. I've actually forgotten what I was saying now, of course.
Yeah, we were talking about Americans.
Maybe we just better...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, it fascinates me that the literal-minded people put that interpretation on the Bible. How you can take Christ's parables literally, I don't know.
And there are those who do take it quite
literally. Was that a warning? I mean, is somebody listening in, Victoria?
Hi, John. Yes, we are at the 2-minute warning, and we had a caller from Vancouver call in a little bit early. Sorry about that.
Okay, so. Very well. That's right. Well,
so what have we got? What do you want us to do?
Well,
he's got 2 more minutes, John, and then if you could just wrap
minutes.
It up.
Two more minutes.
It's going to be a 1 minute. Right.
All righty.
Off you go.
All right. Very well. Which my next question was this. Nowadays, we're being warned, whether we're journalists or comedians or anybody in the outside world, be careful with our words. I mean, there are certain terms that offend, and you know, someone's always seemingly ready to just stand by and be so easily offended. How frustrating has that become to you over the years that now we've got to be careful with our words?
Well, it hasn't, actually, because... Sorry, I went on. Sorry, I started speaking and you went on.
No, I was just going to ask how frustrating is political correctness to you?
Totally, but I encounter very little of it because my audience, by and large, is people who watch Monty Python over a period of about 30 years. So most of them, I would say, were over 40, and they don't go along with that nonsense. I mean, I think it's absolutely ridiculous, and I would love to debate someone. But basically what they're saying is the more sensitive you are to this, the more you have to control other people.
So could the lack of political correctness make a comeback in comedy?
I think we're at time, Michael. I'm terribly sorry. We're going to have to cut this off.
No, fair enough.
I'm sorry about that. Come and say hello to me backstage.
I certainly will. Thank you so much for your time.
This is pretty disorganized. Let's try and clean it up a bit.